Blog Talk Radio.
Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on. From the start it was Yahweh. He took me from the dark, put him in my heart. So Yahweh, got my mind Yahweh. Show me the times and the laws, the flaws of myself Yahweh. Let me know to turn to him, only glory Yahweh. Never bragging anything unless it be Yahweh. He the most high, he my king, he my lawgiver, he my savior. And I'm only praising Yahweh. Told me that my name was Isha, that's man of Yahweh. All fire of Yahweh, whatever it be, you know I rep Yahweh. On my wrist, what does it say? It say praise Yahweh. Y'all can walk another way if you want to, but I'm walking this way. I'm a Israel crew, full life, ride with my homies that be with Yahweh. Only companions, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, JC, never mentioned by Yahweh. Nowhere in the holy scriptures do you see Yahweh. Mixing this catch you call Yahoshua, Yahawashah, Yahuwah, whatever y'all calling him, it ain't Yahweh. Quran never spoke about the man Yahweh. I mean the name Yahweh, the Holy One Yahweh. Not a man that he shall lie, or the son of man that he shall repent. And y'all think he sent somebody that could get killed? What you talking? Yahweh died, man. Come on, man. You thinking that Yahweh lied, man? You frontin' now. If you just open the scriptures, you'll see it right there in Isaiah 34 and 16. Yahweh only got one book, so let's look in it. Don't get too shook, minister, reverend, pastor, whoever you are, you spitting disaster. If you ain't praising the Most High, who is Yahweh? What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah. What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh.
Come on.
All right. We'll play Black Friday. All right, Mike is out. Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, we will now praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there and is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us, blessed us, shined his mercy upon us to come before you another week, bringing you his true and exalted in holy words, even the words of Yah. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. For this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Israel, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and he is our only Savior, and not just of Israel, but Yahweh is the Savior of the world. Now praise the mighty Yah again for allowing us to be here this week. What we'll be discussing today is the sign of Esau. Surely, it seems very befitting today to speak about Esau, since Esau is very high. He has exalted himself. He seemed very happy. And it seemed as though he thought, and let me let you know what I'm speaking about. Because as many of you all might know, that the United States of America placed their embassy right in and at Jerusalem. All the other various presidents, all of them, 44, especially all the presidents since 1947, that this thing about putting an embassy, the U.S. embassy in Jerusalem, will somehow stop any type of peace agreement that might be reached between the Palestinians and the Israelis. But this 45th president said he don't care and he don't give a hoot about peace in the Middle East. And he said he's going to do what he wants to do. And he's going to chart his own path and do his own will. Well, no, he's not doing his own will at all. He's just a puppet fooled by the strings of the Most High, as we're going to see. For the Creator had already prophesied these things would take place. And yet these things are evil. To have the world believe that the people that occupy and control our land are the original seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as well as the original inheritor of our land. And not only this is a lie, but our enemies know that this is not the truth. So we're going to talk about Esau a little bit. But here we are today. And of course, just like any bully or any coward, long they got a big brother behind them, they'd be bold and try to do anything. And so U.S., United States, America is the big brother. They said, look, you want this? We're going to do this. And who did they send to orchestrate it? A man named Jared Kushner. Little do people know he's Jewish. And you're going to see what the Creator has to say about these Jewish people, who we know in the scriptures as Esau. Now, I know everybody don't believe they are, but let me show you our evidence of who they are. But before I show you their evidence, I want you to see why it's so befitting today. Here we are. If you won't learn this nowhere else, here we are on the second day of the second month in the second year. 2 complete weeks in the second month. Yes, we're in the third week, but 2 completes have been accomplished. And the Creator don't tell nothing into the year. So what do all that mean? When the second day, the M-O-N day, the second month of the Hebrew calendar year, as well as in the second year of Yah's Sabbath of year. Well, you're definitely not going to be taught that nowhere else, because the only way, place you're going to be teach that, you're going to hear those type of terms, is from the scriptures and from a servant that will tell you about the Sabbath of year. And we're in God's second year of Yah's Sabbath of year. And Yah has 7 Sabbaths of years. Now, why is that important? Because oftentimes when the Creator wants to make a statement, a big statement on things, He does things at the same time. Because He wants that in your mind, how He operates. For the scripture says there is a time and a season for all things. And He wants you to know that He is the one that orchestrates everything in heaven and in earth. So therefore, you will see things such as this in the book of Ezra. In the book of Ezra, the 3rd chapter. Again, what are we discussing? The sign of Esau, the sign of Edom. Why is that important? Maybe you hadn't been listening. Maybe you hadn't been tuning in, but the embassy, the U.S. embassy, was placed right in Jerusalem. And yes, that is prophecy. And we're going to show you where it was prophesied. Well, first I'm going to show you the purpose behind it. And you're going to see the purpose. The purpose has everything to do with the Creator's name. And how do I know that? Because the second has everything to do with the Creator's name. Whether it's about the second born, the second day, when Yahweh made the heavens, the second month where He rained down flood waters during the time of Noah, or the second month when He rained bread from heaven, or the second day when He, or the second day in the second month when He had His own temple, sanctuary built to His name. Watch what it says in the book of Ezra, the third chapter. And we're going to read the 8th verse. And this is what it says. Now, in the second year of their coming into the house of Elohim at Jerusalem. You know this is at Jerusalem. You know this is the second year. In the second month. And you know this is in the second month. Because that date is very relevant. Begins Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, the son of Josadak, and the remnant of their brother, the priests and the Levites, and all they that will come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forth the work of the house of Yahweh. Did he didn't know when Yahweh built this house? Did he didn't know the date in which Yahweh allowed a house to be built to his name? They know. Why do you think they chose today? Out of all days. Yeah, I know.
They want you to think
this has something to do with 1947, 48, when they massacred the Palestinians. No. This has everything to do with the Mossad. And you're going to see that. Then stood Yeshua with his sons and his brothers, Kabriel and his sons, the sons of Judah together, to set forth the workmen in the house of Elohim, the sons of Hanadah, with the sons there, brother of the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of Yahweh, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise Yahweh after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. So this is what happened on that great day, that Yahweh will have his house built. Now, understand this was the second time. This wasn't even the first time. This was the second time. Let me read you about the first time Yahweh's house was built. And then you're going to understand why this date is so important. What date am I speaking of? The second day, the second month in which we are in today, and the second year. Watch this in the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, the third chapter. So to understand Esau, you got to understand time. And to understand time, you have to understand purpose. And so a lot of things is happening. A lot of our people don't realize it, but it's happening because it was already ordained or prophesied to happen at a certain time. And watch what this says. In the book of 2 Chronicles, the third chapter, the very first verse, and we're speaking about the signs of Esau. But first, I got to understand why this thing is purposed today, where you see this embassy erected on this day. Then Solomon began to build the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem. You notice it was done in Jerusalem during the time of Ezra, but during the time of Solomon, he built this house of Yahweh at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where Yahweh appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. And he began to build in the second day of the second month. And only this I see it. Solomon did it in the fourth year of his reign. But yet it was still in the second day, in the second month, as we are in today. Only difference. Today is the second year rather than the fourth year. And I'm going to show you the fourth year is very relevant also. But this is when the foundation of Yahweh's temple, this is when it was laid. And I'm here to tell you the heathens know this. Our people don't. But our enemies do. They know this. Why do you think they would do such a thing? It's not a coincidence at all. Furthermore, in the book of Exodus 4, still speaking about the sons of Edom, but first I need to show you why today is so relevant. In the book of Exodus 4, and this is what it says. We're going to start reading at the very first verse. Now watch this. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil, and thou shalt bring it in the table. Set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick and the light and the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set up the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony. And put the hanging of the door of the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shalt put water therein. In other words, these are all the various instructions that's supposed to take place in setting up Yahweh's tabernacle when they were in the wilderness. And thou shalt set up the court round about, hang up the hanging at the court gate. And thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in and all that is therein, and shall humble and all the vessels there, and it shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all his vessels, sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the altar, anoint the laver and its foot, and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, wash them with water, and thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garment, anoint him, sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring the sons and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them, as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generation. Thus did Moshe, according to all that Yahweh commanded him, so did he. Now watch what it says. 17 verse. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And why the second year? Because prior to this, the whole first year, Yahweh did not allow them to put up a sanctuary thing. But the first month of the second year, then Yahweh had to rear up this tabernacle. And why? Because the second represents his name. And all through the scriptures, Yahweh said, he will surely return for his holy name's sake. Because his name has been polluted amongst his people as well as the heathen. So he said he was going to return for his holy name's sake. And look, we are in the second year. And look what's happening on the second day of the second year, in the second month. Someone else have thought, have desired to set up their own tabernacle in Jerusalem. Not Yahweh's tabernacle, not Yahweh's house, not Yahweh's tent, but someone has thought to set up their tabernacle on Yahweh's day. Think about that. Think about how Yahweh will feel about such a thing. Let's continue reading a little bit. And Moshe reared up the tabernacle and hastened his socket and set up the boards there and put in the bars there and reared up his pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent above upon it, as Yahweh commanded Moshe. And he took and put the testimony in the ark, set the staves on the ark, put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and he brought the ark into the tabernacle, set up the veil of the covering, covered the ark of the testimony as Yahweh commanded Moshe. And he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward without the veil. And this is the part that I want you to see. And we're going to go right down to, because this is once Moses finished the work. And you read this in the 33rd verse. Then he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moshe finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of the congregation. And the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because Yahweh will hold them, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went over in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. The cloud of Yahweh was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So this was Yahweh's day. And as I said before, the heathen know that this thing is Yahweh. They know what Yahweh would do at the second. Like I said, whether it's the second day, the second month, the second year, you know, just further evidence in the book of 1 Kings, the 6th chapter. In the book of 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, and this is what it says in the very first verse. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel come out of the land of Egypt. In the fourth year, Solomon reigned over Israel in the month Zif, which is the second month that he began to build the house of Yahweh. In the second month. So it's always going to need to deal with the second month, the second day, or the second year. And as you can see, sometimes all three, as in the case in the book of Ezra, the second day, second month, the second year. And here we are today, in the second month, the second day, the second year, and what happens? Not Yahweh's house is erected. Not Yahweh's house is reared up, but the tabernacles, which is called the embassy of the United States of America, set right there, right up, by imposters, Jared Kushner, Netanyahu, imposters, who Yahweh called his enemies, who Yahweh called our enemies. Just to show you this, look in the book of Psalm 83, so I can remind you who's committing this great crime that we see today. Now, it has to take place just like Pharaoh's heart had to be hard. But watch what it says in Psalms 83, starting at the very first verse. Keep not thou silent, O Elohim, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O Elohim. For lo, thy enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Oh boy, these people were, they wanted to cut us off. They wanted to cut our name off. They have lifted up the head. I don't think your head can get more lifted up than today. And they make a tumult. And what was the tumult? On one side, you got a bunch of heathen smiling and laughing. And right across the board, you got Arabs being killed. Palestinians and others, Jordanians and other Arab people being killed. As one was celebrating, the other was being slaughtered. No pity, no shame, no mercy whatsoever. And it all adds up to one thing and one thing only. No peace in the Middle East. This is what's happening. So they make a tumult. They have lifted up their head. It's up now. It's high because now it's high. Now the world, since the United States of America put their embassy in Jerusalem, now the world has to recognize the state of Israel as a legitimate nation, as a legitimate people, not only in the region, but around the world. And they are the people of the land, according to the word. Now that they have the backing, the blessings of their big brother, the United States of America. But little do they know, Yahweh hears and Yahweh sees. And Yahweh knows exactly what is going on. And his fingerprints everywhere. Watch for the city. Therefore, for they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. And look what says. The tabernacles of Eden. And what do the word tabernacle mean? The word tabernacle means meeting place. That's what it meant. When Yahweh raised up his tabernacle, it was the tent of meeting. It is where Yahweh will come down and meet with the representatives of the children of Israel. It's also where he will meet with the children of Israel once that tabernacle became a temple. And here it is. The tabernacles of Eden and the Israelites of Moab and the house of Reeds, the Baal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, for sure also join with them. They are hoping the children of Lot. These are all the perpetrators. Now, many of these perpetrators are enemies of one another today. But as the scripture says, and I want to remind everybody, don't be bamboozled and don't be tricked and don't be fooled because they warred against one another. For they only came together for one consent. And what was that? They have said, come and let us cut them off and be a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. So they didn't come together for peace. They didn't come together for business. They didn't come together for trade. They came together to cut us off. The original seed of the house of Israel. And that is us. But they knew they couldn't do it alone. And let me show you who backed this in the book of Daniel, the 11th chapter. And I want you to keep your eyes on the perpetrators. Daniel, the 11th chapter. I just want you to see the prophecy. You read about this. Vile person in the book of Daniel, the 11th chapter. And we're going to start at the 29th verse. And this is what it says. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south. But it shall not be as former or as the last. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his heart, and they shall salute the sanctuary of sinners, and shall take away the deadly sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their Elohim shall be strong and do excellent. And they that understand among the people shall instruct them. Yet they shall fall by sword, by flame, by captivity, and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be held with a little help, hoping with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flattery. And some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them, to purge, to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. For this thing started a long time ago. And the king shall do according to his will, watch this king. And he shall exalt himself, magnify himself above every other king, or every deity, and shall speak wondrous things, marvelous things, great things against the Elohim of Elohim, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done, and neither shall he regard the Elohim of his fathers, nor desire of women, nor regard any Elohim, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the Elohim of forces, his Lord, and the Elohim whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold, silver, the precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with the strange gifts, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall call them to rule over them, and shall divide the land for gain. And a lot of this happened under Emperor Constantine. But now we have a whole another type of king today. At that time of the end shall the king of the south push him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, with horses, with many ships. He shall enter into the country and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand. Watch, you shall escape. Even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. Aren't these some of the perpetrators that consulted together with one consent to cut the name of Israel off from being a nation? You might want to study Psalm 83. Again, he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the country, and the land of Egypt shall not escape, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the living and the Ethiopian shall be at his step. The tidings out of the east I the Lord shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away men. Now watch what it says he will do. And he shall plant. What that means? When you're planting something, you're putting your stake in the ground. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between his seeds in the glorious holy mountain. That mountain. Mount Moriah. What do you think Jerusalem means? Mount Zion. He shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to a end, and none shall help him. And how do you think he's going to come to a end? Watch this in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, the first verse. And at that time, what time? After the time that the tabernacles is planted, right there in Jerusalem, not Yahweh's tabernacle, not Yahweh's house, not the foundation of Yahweh's temple that's built to his name, the tabernacles are the wicked. At that time, shall Mikael stand up? The great prince will stand up for the children of our people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. And then them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall be raised. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine with the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn men to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And we've been telling people, knowledge has increased. That's how we know this date. And at this time, it's a very important date that most people don't even know about. It's very important to Yahweh. It is Yahweh Day. It is the time where Yahweh will sanctify his name. But they want to take it. The enemy want to take it. The heathen want to take it. And sanctify and set up and celebrate their own tabernacle in the place where Yahweh has chosen to place his name. And that is Jerusalem. And I can assure you, these people do not represent Yahweh's name. But it is the truth. Yahweh said, he ruleth in the kingdom of men and give it to whosoever he will. But I want you to see this is Yahweh's day. Look what it says in the book of Genesis. You might want to look up the name Netanyahu. He's pronouncing Netanyahu. But look up the name Netanyahu in the scriptures. Look up the name Jared in the scriptures. and see who these players are. In the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter first, let's go there. Genesis, the fourth chapter. And this is what it says in the 25th verse. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For Elohim said, she have appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began man to call upon the name of Yahweh. And why? Because little do people know Enos is the second generation after Adam. The first was his son Seth, and then the second was his grandson Enos. But look what it says about Enos in Genesis, the fifth chapter, the ninth verse. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Cain. And Enos lived that day and begot Cain 815 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And I just want you to see this, because you're going to learn about all these players. But this was the second generation when Yahweh desired his name for men to call upon his name. And I just want you to understand how important the second is, so you can understand why that embassy went up on the second day of the second year of the second month. The second Sabbath of years. Or the second year of the Sabbath of years. Also, in the book of Genesis, the seventh chapter. So these things are not just random occurrences. Like the heathen would tell you, there was a random sighting. There was a random occurrence. No, these things are not random at all. In the book of Genesis, the 7th chapter, the 11th verse, it says, in the 600 years of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the sounds of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Why were they opened? Because it was the second month. And Yahweh wanted you to see what he would do for his holy name's sake. This is what he did. He said his name will be sanctified. His name will be sanctified. And I can assure you, it was sanctified here, and it was sanctified in the beginning. Now, when was it sanctified? Just think, in the beginning, when Yahweh said, then men began to call upon the name of Yahweh. Remember? Cain and Abel. Well, Cain killed his brother Abel. Slew him, murdered him. And then Cain was abolished from Yahweh. And Abel died. So this great tragedy caused this great abomination, nobody was calling upon the Creator's name until the second generation. God did, Yahweh blessed Adam and Eve, did it himself, and then Seth had Enos. what happened during the time of Noah. The Almighty seen the earth, and it was wicked and corrupt. And he said, all flesh has come to an end. But Noah, he said, righteousness before him in his generation. So what did Yahweh do? In the second month, which represent his name. So Noah then was going in the ark, and he began to reign on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and destroyed all mankind, except for Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and their wives. This is who he spoke. So as you can see, this great wickedness took place, and then Yahweh sanctified his name. Watch this in the book of Exodus 16. To show you the consistency of Yahweh. Exodus 16. Watch this great evil that takes place. Exodus 16 and 1. And they took their journey from me. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Ebon and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month. Here we go, the second month of June, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moshe and Aaron in the wilderness. And watch what they said. Now, this is just 30 days after they come into Egypt. You mean to tell me in 30 days you forgot how Yahweh had plagued Egypt with 10 different signs and wonders? How Yahweh split the Red Sea and destroyed the Egyptian army? How Yahweh led the Egyptian give you all the riches before you left? You forgot all that in 30 days? Watch it, it said. And the children of Israel said unto him, would to Elohim we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh fathers, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They complaining that this Yahweh can't feed them. They didn't realize this was just a test. So what did Yahweh do during the second month in the fourth verse? Then said Yahweh to Moshe, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moshe and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at evening, then ye shall know that Yahweh have brought you out from the land of Egypt, because obviously you don't know that. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of Yahweh, for that he hear your murmurs against Yahweh. And what are we that you murmur against us. Y'all will hear this.
What do you think the
second represents? It represents Yahweh here. Let me show you this so you can understand why all this is going on. And you don't think Yahweh see this and Yahweh hear this? Them putting this embassy and them laughing and joking and playing and celebrating and smiling as if Yahweh don't rule the heavens and the earth? Oh yeah, he see this. This got his attention because this will happen on his day. Watch what it, look at this. In the book of Genesis 29. Then we're going to start reading at the 31st verse. Watch what it says. And Yahweh saw that Leah was happy. He opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son. And she called his name Reuben. Away, Reuben. For she said, surely Yahweh has looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. And she recognized that Yahweh saw her, saw that she was afflicted. But watch what happens with the second son, the 33rd verse. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she and said, because Yahweh have heard our prayer, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Shimon or Shimeon, which means Yahweh here. Why do you think we say Shimon Yisrael? Here, Shimon. Here. Shimon, Shimeon, hear, O Israel. Yahweh's here. He hears what's going on. He sees what is happening. But he wants you to see. He wants you to hear. He wants you to acknowledge his great wonders, his great power. In his time and purpose. Now you might understand. Just imagine. You have a house. You have a land. In your house, in your land, that you have, somebody take it from you. And then after taking it, then they have a jubilee on your house and on your land that they took from you. At the same time, you supposed to be celebrating when you got the house and when you got the land. Well, what do you think Yahweh has Solomon laid the foundation of his house? Was it not the second day of the second month in Jerusalem? Here we are. This is when they were with the tabernacles of the heathen, the U.S. embassy, a place that people supposed to go for refuge. a place where people go to meet for peace and on solid ground. In Jerusalem. Now you can understand. If you don't now, you'll never understand why Yahweh said this in the book of Malachi, first chapter. And watch what it says. The first verse. The burden of the word of Yah to Israel by Malachi. I've loved you, says Yahweh. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says Yahweh? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. You see what Yahweh said? He hated Esau. Even though our people, many of our people love him. Many of our people go to his meetings. Many of our people learn their language from him. Many of our people go to study under him so that they can learn the laws that are most high. Now, do you think, ask yourself, if it's conceivable, if it's imaginable, that Yahweh would desire you to learn, be read, be taught, be guided by someone he hates? Is that even imaginable? Is that even conceivable? And you will pick up his books and study his books and his polluted language as if you study and learning about Yahweh. You've been deceived. You've been tricked. You've been bamboozled. But that's what Yahweh said. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons that are building. No wonder they all over the world. No wonder they're trying to make Jerusalem and Israel their home. Because they don't have a home anymore. Because Yahweh made his mouth to waste. Whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus is Yahweh and folks. They shall build, but I will throw them. And they shall call them the border of wickedness. And the people against whom Yahweh has indignation forever. Now, what is indignation? That's hatred and anger and fury forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, Yahweh be magnified on the border of Israel. And this is what we're saying already, even before it happened, because the stars and the constellations are lined up. This is what Yahweh is letting us know. Here it is. They going to insult Yahweh this way and put somebody else tabernacle in Jerusalem on Yahweh Day, the second month, the second day, in the second year? Look what the Creator has to say about these people. Show you how devious they are in the book of Obadiah. Obadiah In the book of Obadiah, the first verse in Washington says, the vision of Obadiah, thus is Yahweh concerning Edom. And that's what we're speaking about. Esau, who is called Edom. We have heard a rumor from Yahweh, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise, you let us rise up against her and bow. Behold, I made thee small among the heathen, thou art greatly despised. And this is a sign that Yahweh wants you to know. People are the small people, smallest nation on earth. They're small people. But they greatly despise. All over the world, they greatly despise. But you don't get to be greatly despised by doing nothing. Why do you think Yahweh hates you? The pride of thy heart has deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, that said in his heart, who shall bring thee down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, then thou bring thee down, says Yahweh. If things came to be, if robbers by night, would they have not stolen till they had enough? If the great gathering came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? Of course, not Esau. Esau is the type of thief. Edom is the type of thief that's going to totally wipe you out. Why do you think they so despised? Because they are thieves. The world's kind of thieves. How? Who do you think stole your name, your heritage, your land, your culture? And I mean, that is all deception. In other words, they really don't look and play the part that we really play. But they are the perpetrators behind the theft. How are the things of Esau searched out? And these are the things that you got to do. You got to search these things out. How are his hidden things sought up? All the men in our confederacy have brought these even to the board. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is no understanding in thee. Shall I not in that day, says Yah, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mouth of Esau? And I might even, O Timon, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For I violence against thy brother, Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In that day, if thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners enter into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of thee. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity. Beautiful people, no, I just want you to see this again. This is the violence that was committed against Jacob. And who is Jacob? We are the sons and daughters of Jacob. Now we say it in the 12th verse, but thou should have not looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Israel, in Jehovah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest they have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not enter into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape, and neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in a day of distress. In other words, seven great abominations that Esau would do in the day of our distress, in the day of our calamity, in the day of our destruction. Seven great abominations. For the day of Yahweh is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thy own head. For as ye have drunken upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. And the house of Yaakov shall be a fire, and the house of yourself a flame, and the house of Esau for a stove, and they shall kindle in thee and devour thee, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for Yahweh has spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and there the flame of Philistines, was not he the perpetrator? And they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and the Yahweh shall possess Gilead and the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharvaim, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors, which is judges, shall come up on the mount of Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be Yah's. Hallelujah. This is what Yahweh said he will do to the one he hates. And now he say, Yahweh shall be magnified from the borders of Israel. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Also, two other scriptures. One is in the book of Amos, the first chapter. To show you this also. that you can see. Nothing, and I mean nothing, have escaped the all-seeing eyes of the Most High. Nothing. Not what the heathen has purpose to do to us, nor what they have done to our forefathers, nor what they are doing today. Watch what it says. David, the first chapter. David's first chapter, the 11th verse. Thus says Yahweh. For 3 transgressions of evil, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword. He did cast off all pity. I mean all pity. No mercy. Anger did tear perpetually. And number 4. And he kept his wrath forever. That's what Edom did. Sued his brother with the sword. Cast off all pity. His anger did tear perpetually. And the only way that can happen if you always got some control. Power. And they did. And he kept his wrath forever. But look what Yahweh said he would do. In the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Watch what he said. Watch what he said. The 10th verse. Isaiah 92. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign. What is an ensign? A token. What is an ensign? A beacon, a sign. Shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles see. And his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day, when his ensign stand up, that Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time. And did not tell you the second represent Yahweh's name? Is not that what we've been showing you? Yahweh will set his hand the second time. To recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Patros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Yehuda from the four corners of the earth. The enemy also of Ephraim shall depart. The adversaries of Yehuda shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not be Yehuda. Yehuda shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. Watch for the cities. Look at this. Watch the perpetrators once again. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and children of Ammon shall obey them. And these the same perpetrators in Daniel, the 11th chapter? Aren't these the same perpetrators in Psalms 83? Aren't these the same perpetrators now that we're reading in Isaiah, the 11th chapter? Yes, it is. 15 verse. And Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty union shall he shake his hand over the river, smite it into seven streams, and make me go over dry shod. And there shall be a howling for the remnant of his people. It shall be left from Assyria, light as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. So you can see what Yahweh has purposed, what Yahweh has desired, and what Yahweh has determined. So today is a great day. It is a great time. Because it means that we are getting closer to our deliverance. Closer to when the baby is born. Now make no mistake about it. I want you to understand this. Even though we are getting closer, even though the deliverance is near, it's still not time to celebrate or lift up the head like you This is the time to get low and bow your head and humble yourself to the true and living Elohim, whose name is Yah. For he is our King, he is our Judge, he is our Lawgiver, and Yah is the one who will save us. So until the Lord, so do I. Shalom.
Mercy, and it's love and kindness, 'cause I know that I ain't worthy.